In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From dust you came, O man, and to dust you shall return. That is the inheritance of Adam. Ash Wednesday, therefore, is not a flowery, feel-good type of service. Its content is dust and bones and death. Rebellious Adam's reward is in the kingdom where moth and rust do destroy, where thieves do, in fact, break in and steal, where disease eats our flesh, viruses grow and spread, bones grow brittle and they break, where wives betray the liars that they pledge to love and fathers forget their children. This is the kingdom where perversions are embraced and are celebrated, where hatred is the law, where prejudice reigns in our courts, where sex is valued more than conversation or intellect or piety or devotion to the Lord. There, the race of Adam has its reward. And the dust of Ash Wednesday points us straight to this reality. The reality that we live every single day of our lives, because against all of this evil, all of these things and a thousand more that I've just named, what complaint can we dare make? It's all the product, it's all the result of our sin. It's all what we have done. Because if we too not lied, have we too not been deceitful? Have we not looked the other way when someone Jesus loves was in need? Which of us can stand upon our own works, upon our own goodness, upon our own virtue, and demand justice without also demanding our own damnation as well? There is not one of us. We should gladly go down into the dust. Why? Because dust is much better than what we deserve. So many times we've tried to manipulate God. We've tried to force God's hand. We've tried to hide our foul deeds in the darkness. But what does the Word of God say? What is done in the dark will be brought into the light. We have been foolish. We have sought our solace in our sanctuary, in the mountains, in the rivers. We've sought safety in the woods, in the high places. We have marveled at all of their beauty and their splendor, thinking that they can protect us, they can save us. But oh, how they have betrayed us to the Creator. Neither the rivers nor the mountains care for us one bit. Their allegiance is to their God, and it is not to us. All we do is spew our filth and our waste, our excess, into them and upon them. We stand beside them small and vulnerable and insignificant, once possessing the beauty of the image of God. Now we are nothing to them but fertilizer. Dust in the wind. And so those then, having failed us, what do we do next? We seek to subdue our fears, to deny our dustiness, our death, by conquering nature. We've tried to bring the earth into conformity with our will, right? We've changed the course of rivers. We've tunneled through the mountains. We've tied the earth down with our grids and roads and sewer pipes and fences. We've even changed the temperature of the rooms that we live in. But then all it takes is for what? Snow to fall, or a squirrel to climb into the transformer and just ruin it all. Or a storm comes, and the earth shakes, the rains fall, the wind blows, and once again, guess what? The rivers run exactly where they will. Dams burst, tunnels collapse, Buildings and streets, cultures and peoples are obliterated, turned to ash, and washed out to sea. No matter how hard we try, no matter how strong the strength of our will, we cannot tame the storm, we cannot ride the lightning, much less the mighty Leviathan. We are weak and we are hollow, betrayed again to the one who made all things. And then what do? We seek to hide in our minds, right, in the sanctuary up here. We've constructed philosophies and false religions, imaginary planes of existence. We have deluded ourselves with fantasy so that lightsabers and the Force are more real to us than Jesus Christ, so that Middle-earth and Narnia are more appealing than our world, so that Buddha and the Great Spirit in the sky or the Supreme Being or whatever stand as options in a giant pantheon amongst many, where Jesus is hardly noticed and no more significant than a superbook comic. But those dark lies evaporate quickly in the light of day. And how quickly reality comes crashing in when the mailman brings the bills, or when the principal calls, or the sheriff knocks on the door. And so what do? Off we go once again, following that vain pursuit to lose ourselves, not this time in nature, not this time in our mind, but to lose ourselves in our own sins. We seek distractions from our condition, from our dustiness, from our death. We drink too much, or we smoke our peace. We cheat and we lie. We're negligent. We are inattentive to our loved ones. And we plot and scheme. We brag and we boast. We openly rebel against our Creator. And what are we really doing? What are we really trying to do? Well, what we're trying to do is seize what we think our merciful God is denying us. We try to seize it for ourselves. Like Adam, we seize and take hold of the pleasures of the flesh, hoping just maybe that they will finally make us wise. They will finally grant us some amount of easement. Because we can clearly see that they're pleasing to the eye, and we think that they must also then be good for our bodies. They are not, and it fails us worst of all, because we are not wiser, we are just more damaged, and we're further away from God, our Creator. And the knowledge that we've gained is only that of our growing shame and embarrassment. I mean, it gets to the point where it's just downright hard to keep up with all of our lies, to keep up with all of our sins and hiding them from the rest of everyone, from our brothers and our sisters, our family. Or if you don't like calling them lies in our postmodern culture, then alternate truths, whatever. And the thing is, we know that it goes too far. We know just how far we have transgressed, but we can't stop. We can't stop telling one lie to cover up another. We can't stop our wrath and rage and wickedness. Anger overtakes us, and our mouths say things that, gosh, we don't even mean, right? Yes. And what happens then is that cruelty then becomes our way of operating and dealing with one another. As children of Adam, our hearts are dark, our ears are plugged, our minds are sluggish in decay. And we are betrayed once again. This time we're out of excuses. We have nowhere else to run. Our sins have utterly failed us again. They have failed at even coming close to satisfy our hunger and our thirst. The ancient tempter has fooled us yet again. How could we be so dumb to never learn from our mistakes? How could we be so cold and hard of heart over and over again? God help us. God help us. What are we ever going to do? How can we ever make it? How can we ever stand upright? To whom are we ever going to turn? Repent. Repent, my brothers and sisters. Turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart, with fasting and with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and return to him. Because there is no other place of comfort, no other shelter, no other one who is truly kind and merciful and loves you as much as Jesus Christ. All things betray us, all things do, except for him. Because he is not like his creation. The storms may rage, the dams may burst. But our God is slow to anger, and he is merciful and of great kindness. He is our shield and our almighty fortress. He relents from doing you harm and instead does harm even to his own son instead of us in order to spare and to love you. And because of his son Jesus, you are his beloved. You are his beloved son and daughter in the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom he is well pleased. Without him, without Jesus, our heritage, our future is dust, is nothing. Without him, we enter and remain in the kingdom which these dusty crosses on our foreheads represent. But in his embrace, and only in his embrace, you will find peace and joy and hope and consolation that your soul has been long looking for. And the reason, you may not realize this, the reason that all of these things betray you, God's creation, these things that you seek out for safety and shelter instead of him, the reason those things betray you is because all of those things are his. They belong to him. And all things serve him, even time. All history, all civilizations, all ideas, all good and all evil work together for the faith and salvation of those that he has called to be his own. To us, sons and daughters of Adam as we are, all things to us in human history revolve around him. He is the center for us. Oh, but here is the beauty of the gospel. To him, my brothers and sisters, you are the pivotal character in all of history. To him, everything revolves around you. You are the center of it all for God. You are the object of his lavish grace. This impossible love, this extravagant and abundant mercy and generosity. You, O Christian, stir in him a passion that stops the planets on their course and makes time stand still. And he will stop at nothing, this our God, to have every one of you. All things serve him by serving you and bringing you to him. And so the once waters of chaos, he's made to be the cool and still waters of grace and rebirth. bearing forth his name and placing it right on your forehead where that cross is. Washing away your sins, drowning the old Adam, and raising up the new man joined to his son. Whether you realize it or not, God has pushed you, pulled you, maybe even dragged you even to this very place. He's opened paths, cut off escape routes, led you right here to where his word is preached by his servant, where his flesh and blood are given that you would have life. Also that you would know anew that he is the Lord and that he loves you deeply. He's brought you here that you would be forgiven again, that you would be restored again, refreshed and strengthened again in that same enduring and perfect love that he's always given you because you need it. Because the kingdom of ash and dust is always calling to you. But in our Savior Jesus Christ, we have our brother, our friend, and our God. And so while we're here on this earth, we celebrate and we wait. Always, always clinging to him by faith. Because we know where he's gone. And we know that by the grace of God, we shall follow him too. Follow him out of the dust of death and into life that will never end. And we'll do it in the name of Jesus Christ.